The Australian Presbyterian Bible Church, May the 14th, 2016, Christ without compromise. The Bible without qualification. God who is there, always was there, always will be there, and some will be there with him, who receive the choice consequences of the choice which is chosen by God for you. Believe in him, rest in him, obey him, have peace with him, rejoice in his favors, and favor your own life with his presence. A new place to choose. You hear so much of choosing, forgetting the overall knowledge and foreknowledge of God. But it is a reality for all that. As for me and my house, says Joshua, that the Lord is the choice. There's a lot behind it. There's essential freedom in it. There are vast results through it. 1 Chronicles 21 is our major locale today. And it brings up the title, A New Place to Choose. Do you want fairy frost? Fairy floss, apples, or Coke, a mother may say to her children. That's a positive choice apart from dietary considerations. But there is such thing as negative territory when it comes to choice. First of all, let's look at the totality of negative territory. Let's have, therefore, a look at Acts 13:41. Paul at Pisidian Antioch, that is to say the Antioch which was in Pisidia, is delivering a notable sermon. Having spoken of the raising of Christ without corruption, a fact that the once Presbyterian Church of New Zealand failed to discern, and many others join in that work of flimsy flummery, substituting for theological reality. Paul says, verse 37, but he whom God raised up saw no corruption. Therefore let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins, and by him everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now we come to the point, having seen the atmosphere for our purpose. Beware, therefore, lest what has been spoken to the prophets come upon you. He then quotes, behold, you despisers, marvel and perish. Habakkuk 1:5. For I work a work in your days, a work which you will by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you. All right, you despise God. I always remember some youth at some class I had after I had pointed out the logic of Christianity very briefly in looking at scientific method, trying to maintain, if I recall, that Christians had stolen the body. Christians? How could you be Christians if you didn't believe the resurrection? If you believe that hell had swallowed up a sinful Christ? How is that a Christian? It is impossible. They would be imposters. They couldn't be Christians. And non-Christians would be only too delighted to have the body on display. Such utter rubbish. You despisers. Oh, your knowledgeability is supreme in your eyes. Marvel and perish. That youngster, unless he repents, is merely one node on the highway to hell. For I work a work in your days, a work which you'll by no means believe. Looking ahead, the prophet is speaking of that which is to come in Christ. I once heard someone mock at the thought of the foot of Christ coming on Mount Olivet as is stated in Zechariah 14. But he didn't seem to want to mock at the foot of the baby Jesus coming to Bethlehem. That didn't seem to occur to him. You can be major despisers or minor despisers. Despisers of the lot or despisers of something. But here we're talking rather when the entirety is what is said. Work which will by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you. There is the total objection. Now, it's important to notice that there was a certainty, there was a necessity which was invested in this. It was necessary that this should be first preached to you. And then, if not, then to the Gentiles. Verse 46, it was necessary. I love that. That the word of God should be spoken to you first. But, since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Oh, give me another month, says one. This is everlasting. And judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Behold, we turn to the Gentiles. Why was it necessary? Because God is faithful. Because God loved his people. Because God, whatever was their evil towards his son, whatever was their comedy and blasphemy, whatever was their artful cruelty, he still had loved them and was offering, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Christ was praying for the mockeries. Rather, the mockers. It was necessary. The love of God is like that. There's no question of turning. Here's Christ himself then. If you will not obey the law, if you'll sell high priesthoods, well, here's Christ nevertheless. No? Very well. It was necessary. But since you reject it, pounding like the waves of the sea on and on, since you reject it, don't imagine that you're excluded through a lack of divine love. Since it was necessary, but since you, not somebody else, not some church, you reject it. And notice what's involved in this, and judge yourselves. So you are the judge. It says so in this case, this exclusion. Unworthy. Oh, you can't rise to everlasting life. That's your judgment. Take it. Now in John 3:19, we have these glorious words, the charter of loving freedom. This is the condemnation. That light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. If you love darkness and can't stir yourself, oh, do I have to hear this sermon for the umpteenth time? He's always preaching the same thing. It's known as the gospel, actually. Judge yourself. This is the condemnation. Not, as some Calvinists pretend, God so little loved the world that only those pre-elected and chosen by a process unknowable could possibly get in. God so loved a part of the world that part of the Lord doesn't say that. God so loved the world. The world is not some oddity in the vast premises of John chapter 1, 2, and 3. The world is the world. There's no getting away from it by strange-looking theological antics. God so loved the world But he gave to whoever. Those were objections. Moreover, he didn't come to condemn it. It was the opposite. He came that it might be saved. Is the more needed? Coming. That it should be saved. What? The world. So loved. What? To what extent? To this extent. That whoever comes should be saved. You're going to say, but I'm going to stop you coming anyway. Rubbish! How can he so love that he gives his son that he's going to stop you anyway? On the contrary. This must be thoroughly understood. If you're thinking of coming to Christ, there is an assisting when there will be things to stop you, but God is with you, but he's just against hypocrisy. Confusion. If you're coming, come. If you're going, go. And don't make up philosophical nodules to try and premise some sort of confusion. So there is the negative territory. Total. We can also look at an aspect. Jehoshaphat didn't totally move into negative territory. There was just an aspect. We preached before on the number of times Jehoshaphat joined with that which was contrary to the Lord. Is it for use as a prophet to him to help that which is evil? Should he join with that which is opposed to God? As in the World Council of Churches, or in the Uniting Churches, enormous scope and spread to things in the Bible and out of the Bible. Is it for people to join with this? Or with any of the sects which deify Jesus Christ? Jehoshaphat made that vast mistake over and over. He made it commercially, he made it militarily. He was rebuked. And his son, Jehoram, Jehoshaphat grew rich. Plenty of money in the children. He gave them gifts. His son killed his brothers and set forth the rule, to the point he got a personal letter from Elijah the prophet, telling him about the slow intestinal disease which would muck the rock. Jehoram, there was a fruit of negative territory, even in one aspect only. Let us emphasize that Jehoshaphat was a great king, but a small cancer can perform a big work. Now, we come to a negative excursion. Not a phase, but an act. A new place to choose. David, if we look at 1 Chronicles 21, had conceived an idea. Imagination can be wonderful. Conception, whether of children or of ideas, can be wonderful. But when you're in the business of conceiving ideas, be careful to scrutinize them by checking them out prayerfully, scripturally, perhaps with friends, certainly with zeal, because it's possible to be confused. And not all bombs are defused when you pick them up. David had an idea. So he says to his commander, "Go! Number Israel from Beersheba to Dan, and bring the number of them to me, that I may know them. I want to have a population census. I want to see how strong our nation is. So often God has given us the victory. What have we really reached to? What are we up to now? Or in that disgusting phraseology you sometimes hear, what am I worth now? 3 million? Or is it 4? But David, it was the population. He was still motivated towards people, but he got into the numerical side at the wrong level. Even his commander said, "May the Lord make his people 100 times more than they are. But, my lord, the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then does my lord require this thing? Why should he be a cause of guilt to Israel? David was warned, be careful sometimes to listen to warnings of that kind, and sometimes not, depending on whether you are being warned not to take a risk for Christ, which is in fact something he commands, or whether it's a risk against Christ, something he does not command and does not desire. So the king's word prevailed against Job, and in the end Joab could not bring himself to finish the task. God was displeased, that was what mattered. And now we come to a new place to choose. Which of three punishments would you prefer? Now that's marvelous. In school, someone might say, well, you're going to get 4 strokes of the cane. It doesn't say, but would you prefer a detention? Which of these punishments would you prefer? Oh, have I done wrong? David didn't say. I can't see why statistical knowledge can possibly be called spiritual abomination. I fail to perceive it. I protest. What to? The truth. Why do you fail to perceive it? Why are you occupying yourself with a vast, energetic coverage of the whole nation when God has been your sufficiency? And more are those that are with us that you can't see than those that are against us. Why? There is no answer. David didn't do that because he was a man of God. He was asked, which would he like? Would you like a plague? Would you like your enemies to overrun you for a while? What would you like? Tell us. Either 3 years of famine, or 3 months to be defeated by your foes with the sword of your enemies overtaking you, or else 3 days the sword of the Lord, the plague in the land, with the angel of the Lord destroying throughout the territory of Israel. Now consider what answer I should take back to him who sent me, said the prophet Gad. And David said to Gad, I am in great distress. That's the unhappy thing, isn't it, about rushing into foolish decisions. Filled with assurance for yourself. I am in great distress. That's the next phase. Please let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are very great. But do not let me fall into the hand of man. Even in punishment, deftly discerning and loving the Lord. So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel fell. God sent an angel to destroy it. And he looked and he said, enough, restrain your hand. 16 of 21 First Chronicles. And David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord standing between earth and heaven, having in his hand a drawn sword stretched out over Jerusalem. So David and the elders, clothed in sackcloth, fell on their faces, and David said, was it not I who commanded the people to be numbered? I am the one who has sinned and done evil indeed, but these sheep, what have they done? Let your hand, I pray, O Lord, my God, be against me, my father's house, but not against your people, that they should be plagued. So here is David the shepherd's love of the sheep. But it does remind us, when you vote for a government that is going to bring in some outrageous, merciless, invasive atrocity, think well. When a government says, in certain cases, whatever people feel is the answer in questions of justice and judgment. Whatever they feel, it doesn't matter what the truth is. It doesn't matter what the purpose of the suspected crime is. If the people don't like it, you're done. There are things to consider. If there is no other alternative, you have to consider not voting. And if one alternative is far worse than the other, you have to consider how you will deal with the situation. And so many of the people suffered as well. This was one aspect in negative territory. It made one error, one situation, one order, one command. It's such as that of the Victorian government, not to allow some useful restraints on the atrocious atrocities of sexual involvement of small children in experimentally viewing approaches to the nature of man, having forgotten that nothing creates nothing and something has to be adequate to make it, and what's adequate to make your power to be logical enough to think soundly. Chaos? That is pure madness. Intellectual madness. But that's only one example. There are many more. As we approach the final days, and it's not just a matter for desolation of spirit. This means that the end is coming exceedingly near, as it has to, with the return of the Jews to Jerusalem, as in Luke 21. The return is near. So let us all be valiant. David was and endured, and cried out to the Lord, implored. And Christ, consider him. He went through with it all, whatever the cost. Not one syllable went astray. You consider the Lord's wonders again and again on the cross and before it. As, for example, in John 18. The high priest then asked Jesus about the disciples and his doctrine. Jesus answered, I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where the Jews always meet. And in secret, I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said. Far from a recumbent position of a sleeping church which adopts culture and teaches the niceties of evolution in its church-supported school. Great. Now, we look at some further considerations of negative excursions. When you drive, having drunk, and are not drunk, but have the consequences of your drinking. Or when you take drugs and decide to drive, it's not a matter of whether you are caught. You are caught in the nets of iniquity already. You may be responsible for the death of a child or a parent and a child. You may be responsible by your example, if you are the exemplary type of person in the eyes of the public, of many hundreds taking the same shortcut to injury, agony, anguish, mobilizing folly. And the same with Australia's experiment, the filing children. What? In the ways we've noted already, and in other ways. With lack of discipline. With disciplining the disciplinarians, whose discipline is only within limit. With love, with cherishing, with desire to prompt awareness from foolishness instead of wasting time on superabundance of willfulness characterized as initiative. Initiative has a place, not in disgrace. So what is the object? To have defiled children taught to survive, taught to express themselves, taught to devise the ways that exhibit their magnificence so that they may be fulfilled. Self-indulgent wipeouts, is that the objective? For people taught to indulge themselves as a moral duty? Imagine teaching children, as is done, already, the perversion from what is shouted by a thousand, a billion voices in your very body. This is what a male is, written in the script of DNA. This is what a female is. This is how you make one of those. That is how you make one of those. A billion voices in the inscripted DNA, telling you in your very own self. Ignoring that billion voices with unnatural naturalism, First of all, imagine nothing made nature, and then nature set to make other things, or that nature made everything before it was there to make it. Ludicrous, illogical nonsense. As if drunk. Intellectually drunk. And so unnatural. They depart from what the nature is. Written. Billion times. Educate that people should accept the denial of nature. It is there. It is written. So far from scientific method, should have the realities bellowing at them and making them. Think of that. Not only bellowing at them, but making them so they are made on that prescription. And this is experimental. You need experiments. You don't know what's what. Intolerance of truth is a correct description of such a situation. Absolutely intolerant of conformity to reality is a correct and an accurate description of that particularity. As also, denial of the demonstrable word of God, which is written not only in cells but in the Bible. Live by nature, and then contradict it at the same time. Unnatural naturalism, self-contradiction, and it's taught by money, which some want to extend much more, while our internationally apparently inefficient education system, by statistical comparisons, gets more and more and more and more to do such outrageous things. Other things as well, no doubt. But these no less. After all, if you've got four pillars under a house and the second one is now cracking, it's not a time to spend money on new vibration exercises on top. So, it's a matter of negating the negatives. Nothing did not make nature. Nature did not make itself before it was there. Society did not make morals. If society made morals, it would be simply preference, as in any political campaign. You'd have the people saying, you must do this, I want this, this is what we've decided. People are not to be assumed to be utter idiots. Do you imagine that the force and strength of morality would come from delusive people like Mayo, with his little red book, saying monumental nothings and persuading people that this is in fact divine morality and not the opinion of some person who esteems himself right? Morals work because we are susceptible to them, because in what we've been constructed to be, there are things that help it and there are things that harm it, and they are true mentally and they are true physically and they're true spiritually. If you cut yourself off from your Creator, obviously, it's like never seeing a doctor. I will never see a doctor. Obviously, you will be depleted. Man does not make his Maker. His Maker made man. Children are not holus bolus, the wards of the state. They don't belong to the state. The state is not elected to be God. But it's acting like it when it treats children as raw materials for atheistic conceptions, or those who are acting on that basis, whether or not they see what they're doing. France, Germany, and the USSR each laid down the new truths. In France, it didn't work, and Waterloo has become a nickname for failure of the grandiose. In Germany, it was so exceedingly industrialized. Children were being taught and mistaught, as in Australia now, with some differences, but their psyches were invaded with talk that didn't rest on reality. They all failed. The USSR, bankrupt, failed. They all failed. They all knew all the answers. The USSR wanted God to depart bag and baggage. They mocked him. Where is he, hanging on a star? How ludicrous. like saying that Einstein doesn't understand 2 and 2 equal 4. The stars are a creation. Christianity and the Bible specifically teach that all these things are a creation. You're going to say a book, an author is hanging on a word in his book? That's a contradiction of what it is. This is a contradiction of what Christianity teaches. This is a lot more like an exposition of communism. Is whatever has the force hanging on a star? Do you have a system by a system, making a system and conducting a system? Is there God hanging on a star? That's where it would be applicable. So all those three nations have in the last few hundred years made huge endeavors to do what is being done in more subtly in Australia in crucial regards which so far haven't involved a great deal of slaughter. Then we need to affirm the affirmatives. The mindful maker made man. The mindful maker made morals. Made design, made purpose, made justice, made judgment. Exhibits truth and mercy. Declares what will be and then does it. Affirming the affirmatives is necessary. It's necessary to think. It's necessary to think that this is to be a new constitution which wants to wipe out, for example, the reference to Almighty God and reliance on Him which is in our current preamble. If you want to wipe that out, realize that if you accept any constitution which does that, you are registering consent with corruption, anti-God mentality, and your quietness in the vote does not alter. The disquietude relative to your heavenly prospects as you turn your back on the living God. Intolerant of Him. Similarly, of any naturalistic objects. If these are put in the place of God, it is the same situation. It is better to avoid all of this, to stand steadfast, affirming the affirmatives, looking at the consequences, ignoring King culture with his costly establishment, man as maker of morals, and understanding apart from all reality and testable securities of what he wants, dignifying it as nature and dignifying that as it, Mr. It. Quite a hit. How many discs on that? So avoid David's form of choice. Which of these punishments would you prefer? A new form of choice. Rather, with Joshua, choose the Lord. In the end, you will not change anything but your destiny. By departing in spirit from the living God and the free offer of salvation through the death of Christ, to secure the pardon of justice, because the justice through mercy has what it costs to pay, choose the Lord and the things of the Lord while there is still time. And prosecute your choice with all your mind and heart and soul. Remember David. And remember how he repented. How he prayed to the Lord to forgive him for the consequences of his wrong choice, his evil decision. And remember also the ultimate outcome. David was directed to make a sacrifice. He did, in an area later to become sacred. It was the beginning of a new thrust in the whole exhibition of redemption. Repentance is not weak, it is strong. It leads you to be strong and ends the song of ruin. Amen. Our Father, we praise Thee. The repentance is to reality. And reality goes back to the beginning. When nothing wasn't there, the God who made everything was there. And His love was there. And rationality was there so that we can investigate scientifically what is logical because it is logical, because it was made logically. Assist us, O Lord, not only to know but to be faithful and zealously faithful to the truth. Not carousing with those who are confused, but the liquors of irrationality and willfulness. Let us see the strength of repentance, because it leads to the reality where there is no limit in the love of God and His mercy. Hear these our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.